I'm just, it's quite interesting hearing everyone, and I choose to be silent, but something just coming to my mind, you know, like, we haven't really figured out in periphery, because I think now we are quite troubled, because we are, we don't know whether we are Desire Machine Collective or we are periphery, or how many lexicons, how many words, what kind of a thing. And in periphery, it's in multiple kind of, let's say, dictionary languages, which is have to operate. Like for this event, there is a different kind of lexicon. And I think we have drifted away from, you know, even this kind of a very subjective point of view or a subject position when we really worked as artists. I really agree what Sudha said, being an artist without being an artist, because here in periphery, what that's transition has unknowingly or knowingly it has happened, and or it has been designed like that. So that's what I'm trying to see, that what is really happening, which we kind of forgotten about, an idea which we started off, you know, this whole idea of deterritorialization and getting deterritorialized again and again, because I think we are marked by territories, and we are troubled by territories. We're marked by maps, borders, and all kinds of things. And to to delve into that without being objective, it was quite a difficult task. But this whole idea of what Deleuze and Guattari in 1000 Plato, they proposed that universe which is composed of potentially infinite worlds, most inaccessible to Homo sapiens due to the limitation of visual perceptions processed by language. I think we have a lot of problems with language, even if we'll also like to mark ourselves as this geographical location. Language has always been very problematic, you know, trying to define ourselves through language. And that's why what comes to my mind, why I think that makes personally me very nervous when I talks about words and languages, where I slowly, even in films, I think, well, that's what I'm trying to say. And I think I have reformed myself a lot. I think we have come things that we have actually moved towards from structures, and I think we're trying to go towards perceptions, locations, I was mentioning yesterday. So again, coming back to the thing, I think this is also in a way which is also very healthy for periphery and things. It's also, we are getting deterritorialized again in this process. So we are not trying, we have been shaken, you know, like being uncomfortable. And that's what I think was completely intended, what we intended, which that's why we're not really uncomfortable, but that is part of this whole scheme. So there are two kind of propositions which I like to mention. I think two, I will not say kind of their words or things, but kind of two ideas which roughly interest us here in periphery, or as even as Desire Machine Collective, is it's like this whole idea of deterritorialization, which is a shift. It was a major shift away from deconstruction. So, this post-structuralist perceived the decentering of the subject as a welcome epistemological breakdown. But many theorists also perceive this kind of space, which I don't want to call postmodern, but as very two kind of outcomes: either it are very deterministically fragmented, or they're completely uncertain. I'm very comfortable with uncertainty, you know, and I completely enjoy the process, even as a designer, you know, things whole, then the product. So whole this excitement of even engaging with this whole confusion and this whole uncertainty has really been very productive. I don't know what happened tomorrow or day after. That's what I'm thinking, that what really happened. So I like to remember this as a very fragmented event, and that's things. Secondly, this another idea which I have been working, but I can actually share this thing with you, but it's quite a long time, I think, during the time we spent in an idea. I was looking at this whole idea of even I tried to write something, but it didn't really turn out to be nothing. This whole idea of perplexity, and looking at this whole ambiguous gamut of things, because which is not really very absolute, because it's like it's just like borders, you know, like where nation states try to define them, where the people inside the borders remain, you know, complete unknown to the order presence of the things. It means a multiplicity of meaning, and that's where I think today like what I made a point yesterday, which was also I was not very clear to me, where the dictionary versus manuals, and I think I am for dictionary because it's quite kind of a rhizomatic process of dealing with the multiple and not like, you know, engaging with the absolute and just use value and even engaging with design and, you know, this kind of certain metaphors. Even recently there's an interesting thing which I think I never know, he also was it he like as what Stephen was talking about, you know, efflux. I think this kind of interesting you know, conjecture which is happening between art and design. This critic Hal Foster, he has written a very interesting essay called ABC of Contemporary Design, where he has a new kind of lexicons which we are trying to, you know, even investigate, you know, certain, where he actually fails to mention or he has very categorically removed these two words, form functions, you know. So because this whole functionless in objects and, you know, whole idea of extending design into this kind of you know, territories is going to be very productive. And secondly, I think there's also a couple of recent thinking which has been also done in this kind of publication which MIT with Whitechapel is bringing out, is art design, when they actually trying to combine, and this whole idea of where furnitures are looking like sculptures and sculptures are looking like furnitures and or vice versa. So this kind of this confusion, I think, is very interesting, and that's what I feel that what it is leading to is basically the whole idea. With I think one word which I personally feel we have missed out is the idea of translation. I think when we are saying us with kind of this different diversified politics of thinking or different modes of practices, we're trying, and are we trying to force into a kind of say one lexicon? Is it the same nation building process which we're saying, okay, it's like you know, it's like what I say in a very standard way, I say it's like a football team, you know, one from you know, one from Manipur, one from Nagaland, one from Madhya Pradesh, and they're trying to represent kind of a thing. So or then we're forcing onto a common lexicon. So can't we think it's something, I don't know what the form is, but it's I expect it to be much more fragmented, much more rhizomatic, much more maybe not very dramatic, but something which it happens over time, you know, like something which is just that molecularity of perception, you know, that remains there. Definitely with all this thing of, you know, everybody having access to edit and all kinds of, you know, these features, but so whole idea of translation is I think connecting to the whole preparing this local locality for the, you know, greater extent of globalization, I think, and or trying to translate, because we're finding new words. How do I bring these new words into this thing, or are we happy to be to hear the same words? How do I translate? How do I bring? How do I explain what has been those economic space, or what? Very let not try to use another word, but say what Apadurai said: all these sacriscapes, finance scape, all this through all these scapes, all this vernacular, you know, terminologies which is coming, which we are letting us deterritorialize. How do I translate? How can we really share that meaning? That is a task. I think this space or that project, or what we call it a project, can be a possible space to create this on And sometimes I think also the way I understand, you know, this whole idea of new media, which is also that it has no burden of this Eurocentric art history. It's heaven access. It's because it is has so technologically determined. It also, I don't know whether I'm correct, but this is what I personally feel. It has, you don't have a burden. You can just engage and without getting into that kind of following the terminology, you have to be just, you know. So that's what I know, just these are few thoughts which is just crossing my mind.
Yeah, I mean, all the discussions that have been happening, I mean, something that crossed my mind in the morning when we were discussing what to do. I mean, considering that now having gone through all our viewpoints about the various terms we have discussed, and I don't know, I mean, should we kind of, you know, all of us speak about how we come to these terms from our areas of work and how we understand these things differently or similarly, because that's one way of at least mapping out, you know, certain kinds of viewpoints that are actually impinging on the same terms but coming to them very differently. Things like naming or community or use or you know, whatever we are doing. I mean, obviously we are dealing with you know, we are mentioning Agamben and we are mentioning this whole logic of naming connected to a logic of crisis, lexicons. So obviously there's been an expansion, or certain things have forced us to expand a perceptual framework, which means that certain new things have come in which do not then allow older terms to function in the same way as they did. And obviously there is some sort of a consensus around this issue, and we are handling it in our own ways, coming with our own kind of know-how and trainings and disciplinary kind of, you know. And we have expressed it in various ways, but maybe in the afternoon, post-lunch, we could just come to it. Everybody speaks for 4 or 5 minutes about the terms that have come up. There are certain terms which are coming up again and again, community, network, usership, you know, or anything. And we all have our views on that, you know, and so I don't know.
I want to briefly return to the question of bamboo, because I think it's a very interesting example in a history. And what you talked about, the consequences of naming something as one thing and not the other. In this part of the world, the consequences of naming bamboo as grass were actually far more catastrophic than people know. Since bamboo was considered to be a grass, which it is, botanically, it is a grass, but the question is that its behavior and the behavior of people towards bamboo is clearly not an orientation towards grass. It's treated as a major thing in people's lives that you deal with, work with, live with, die with. What was not very well known by the administrative officers of the newly independent Republic of India was that the bamboo flowers once in 12 years, unlike grasses. And when the bamboo flowers, it leads to a sudden and catastrophic increase in the population of rats, because rats live in bamboo groves and they eat the bamboo flower. And suddenly the whole demographics of the rat world go through the roof. When rats increase, there is famine. And in 1953 or 54, at the end of a certain 12-year cycle, when the bamboo flowered in the forests of Mizoram and Manipur, there was an extensive famine through much of northeastern India. And the mishandling of that famine produced an entire political